Thank you for joining me again. I am Danny Brown. I'm the lead pastor here. And today we're going to talk about living free. What does freedom mean? What does the Bible say about living free? Where does true freedom come from? And how do we get it? So let's go have a look at that right now. Okay, so here we are. Live free. I want our key verse, I want to get right to that verse right now. John chapter 8 and verse 31 to 36. And it says this, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They responded, "We are Abraham's children. We've never been anyone's slaves. How can you say that we will be set free?" And Jesus answered, "I assure you that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave isn't a permanent member of the household, but a son is. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you will really be free." Jesus is talking here to fellow Israelites or Jewish people, telling them that the truth can set them free. And yet they don't even realize that they're in bondage to something. So what is freedom? Here's a dictionary definition, actually from the Bible Dictionary, the Strong's Bible Dictionary, and here's what it says about freedom. To be free means to be released, liberated from various kinds of ownership, confinement, and distress, such as prison, confinement, political domination and oppression, physical sickness, release from a contract, God's release of the sinner from sin, the opposite of a slave. And speaking of opposites, here are some opposites of freedom. Some of those opposites: captivity, confinement, imprisonment, slavery, bondage, restriction. Freedom is a desire in every person, yet those born in bondage cannot truly understand the joy of freedom, and those born in freedom often do not understand the hopelessness of bondage. Jesus was talking in our key verse to people who didn't even realize they were in bondage to something. You know, when I think of freedom and bondage, many times going through life, we meet people who we can tell they are in bondage to something, and yet they don't realize it. I know a young lady who is in bondage to drugs. This young lady grew up in a good family and, you know, maybe didn't like some rules mom and dad had, and for the promise of pleasure and maybe escape, decided to try drugs. Today, completely in bondage to drugs. Drugs controlling every part of her life, and yet she doesn't realize it. Excuses and reasons, and here she is, skin and bones, in bondage, not knowing that freedom could be hers if she wanted it. Simply told, this will be fun. Simply with an idea of, I want to do something that my parents said I couldn't. Bondage is ugly, and bondage that is not realized or seen will have its effect, will play and have a toll on the person it owns. But I want to talk today about freedom, not bondage. I want to talk to you about a sweet, unbelievable freedom that is there for you and I. So let's talk about living free. What does the Bible have to say about living free? In John 8, chapter 34 to 36, we read this. It says, "Everyone who sins is a slave to sin, but who the Son sets free is free indeed." And again, that was from a portion of our key scripture. It says very clearly, sin can make you a slave, however, the Son can set you free. So we are told in Scripture that we can live free from sin. So the Bible is clearly telling us that God wants us to be a free people, living free from sin. The second thing I see when looking in God's word is that we are told we can live free from sickness. Exodus 15 and verse 26 says this. He said, "If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commandments and keeping all of his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you." God has made it clear in his word. And of course, there are many, many scriptures on healing, that he wants his people healed, healthy, and free from sickness. What does the Bible say about living free? I've said already, living free from sin, living free from sickness. The third thing I see that scripture tells us about living free is this. He wants us to live free from heavy burdens or bondage. What do I mean by heavy burdens or bondage? There's a number of them, and they're touched upon in scripture. Being free from debt, being free from slavery, being free from overworking. Scripture talks about this. But let me give you one verse here today. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Jesus wants people to live free from heavy burdens. If you're living with a heavy weight, it is not from God. If you're living with burdens that you can't carry, they're not from God. And he wants you to live free from heavy burdens. The fourth thing I see that God wants us to live free from, and we see throughout scripture, is that he wants us to live free from Satan's oppressions. Again, what do you mean by that? He wants us to live free from fear and lies and, yes, spiritual attacks. We live in a spiritual world. There's an unseen world beyond the natural that affects each and every one of us, and it's real. And God wants us to live free from the oppression of the devil and his band or his cohorts. Let me read you a verse that talks about this. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. And it says, "You know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him." So Jesus, one of the main things he came to do was to set people free from the spiritual oppression of the enemy. And yes, it's real. All right, so I've given you a few points now. What does scripture say about living free? Let me just go over them. I'm going to make sure you get this overview really good. So he wants us to live free from sin, live free from sickness, live free from heavy burdens, to live free from Satan's oppression. And finally, he wants us to live free with joy and peace, worshiping him, worshiping the God who created us. All right? So let me give you a verse here. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. "Then the Lord told him, 'I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. And yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey.'" This was God speaking to Moses. Moses was looking after sheep in the wilderness, and God spoke to him. spoke to him out of a bush that was burning but did not burn up. And God told him these words, I'm going to set my people free. God wants his people free. He saw the slavery they were in and he said, I'm going to set them in their own land. A land that was prosperous and blessed, and a land where they would be able to build a temple and worship in peace their God. His desire is for people to live in freedom. God is not a God of bondage. You know, some people feel that, well, God, he has those Ten Commandments. Because of those laws, he must be controlling. Freedom is not the absence of rules. True freedom has guidelines. True freedom is not chaotic. True freedom is ordered. And God does not want his people to live without freedom. It says he's not the author of confusion. God wants his people living free in a prosperous land, able to worship him with all their might. And so God had a plan to set his people free in this day, to set them free from the Egyptians who held them in bondage. And God fulfilled that plan, and he brought them out. And we know from Scripture that he brought them out healthy. He brought them out physically strong. He brought them out prosperous. And of course, you can read that story in Exodus. We're not going to go into great detail on this today. God has always desired to see people living free, to see people living joyfully, to see people living with more than enough. This is true. Isaiah 49 and 13 to 22 is a verse I want to look at for a minute. At the beginning of the year, we actually looked at this verse, and it is a verse that says God will bring joy to his people. And I want to look at it again now because I believe it is even more real now than it was in the beginning of the year. A verse that speaks of God's amazing love, his desire to see his people free, worshiping him. Let me read it to you. It's a few verses, so I want you to stick with me on this, but they are good. Isaiah 49, 13, all the way to 22, reading in the New Living Translation. It says, sing for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth, burst into song, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on them in their suffering. Yet Jerusalem says, the Lord has deserted us, the Lord has forgotten us. Never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hands. Always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's walls in ruin. Soon your descendants will come back, and all who are trying to destroy you will go away. Look around you and see, for all your children will come back to you. As surely as I live, says the Lord, they will be like jewels or bridal ornaments for you to display. Even the most desolate parts of your abandoned land will soon be crowded with your people. Your enemies who enslaved you will be far away. The generations born in exile will return and say, we need more room. It's crowded here. Then you will think to yourself, who has given me all these descendants? For most of my children were killed and the rest were carried away into exile. I was left here all alone. Where did all these people come from? Who bear these children? Who raised them for me? This is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I will give a signal to the godless nations. They will carry your little sons back to you in their arms. They will bring your daughters on their shoulders. What a powerful verse. God's people at this time when this prophecy was given were in captivity. They were in a foreign land. They were slaves. Many of their brothers, sisters, relatives have been killed. Those who were still alive were slaves in another land. And yet this word comes saying, once again, I will bring you freedom. Once again, I will bring you into a prosperous, joyful land, and it will be full of people. I read this verse today and I say, yes, bring it on. Of course, here I am preaching in an empty building, feeling a little bit lonely. And God's saying, I'm going to fill it to overflowing. And you're going to say, where did they all come from? God will do it. He will bring many to his house, and we will worship with freedom once again. We will worship with joy with one another. It is a God-given freedom to worship together. And the enemy will not steal it. It will be ours. We need to speak it. We need to declare it. We need to pray it. We need to believe it. Because it's coming soon. Soon we will be back. Soon we will be together worshiping like never before. And I have a funny feeling we won't take it for granted, maybe like we did before. I don't think it's going to be the last thing on our list. Should I go to church and meet with others? I believe we're going to do it with amazing joy. I know that God wants to bring in a harvest of people. People we've never even met, and you're going to be saying, where did they come from? God is sending out a signal saying, come. God is calling out for the lost. He wants to make them free. And freedom is truly yours and mine. Freedom is what Christ came to bring us. And that brings me to really one of my last points in the message today, and it's this. Who makes this freedom possible? Think about it for a minute. Okay, the Bible says, yes, he wants us free. That's great. But who really, truly makes it possible? John 8:32 says, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Again, from our key verse that we started with. Jesus, in another verse, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. But here's an interesting word, truth. You'll know truth, and the truth will make you free. Hosea 4, verse 6, we read a verse that says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let me put those together for you and make a statement here that you need to remember, and it's this. When people refuse truth, they refuse freedom, and they allow destruction. Jesus is the truth. He brings truth, and it says that he brings true freedom. When you refuse Christ, you are refusing truth. When you refuse truth, when you refuse Christ, you're refusing freedom. When you refuse freedom, destruction is sure to come. Christ has come to set us free. 1 Peter 2:24 says this. It says, he carried in his own body on the cross the sins we committed. He did this so that we might live in righteousness, having nothing to do with sin. By his wounds, you were healed. Christ that day hung on a cross for you and I. He paid the price with his body. He was a pure sacrifice, and he did it so you and I could be free from sin, so you and I could live in peace. Freedom is ours. Freedom belongs to those who follow Christ. Freedom is something that God has given, and when God gives, no one can take it. Freedom is something, again, I have said this many times, freedom begins in the heart. A person who is free is not held captive by his surroundings, by her surroundings. A person who is free indeed, beginning on the inside, working out. I want to encourage you, if you know freedom, if you're a follower of God and you have experienced freedom, let me say this, do not give your freedom or your inheritance away easily. What do I mean? You've been given freedom to be free from sin. You've been given freedom to worship and to live for Him. Don't give it away easily. We read a story in the Old Testament about two brothers, Esau and Jacob. And in this story, Esau, who is a hunter, goes out hunting, and he's hunting for quite some time. He comes back really, really hungry. And his younger brother, Jacob, is cooking soup. And it smells so good, Esau wants the soup immediately. He wants to fulfill his hunger, his desire, quickly. And Jacob says, sure, just give me your birthright, and I'll give you the soup. He gives what's rightfully his simply because he's thinking only of his stomach at the moment. People have given away their freedom time and time again for things much less. What happens when someone, for the promise of pleasure, gives away their marriage? When someone, for the promise of great riches, leaves their family or destroys their business because they were promised something that couldn't be given? Don't give it away easily. It's yours. Hold on to it. Someone promises you wealth, don't give them your freedom. Someone promises, oh, I'll do it. You just give me your freedom. Don't do it. Esau found out the hard way that that inheritance that was his, he gave it quickly. And you know what? It said that he came back from hunting and he could have waited. He could have went home to his mother and she would have cooked for him. Moms are awesome. God has something great in store for each of us. And freedom is one of those amazing things. Don't give it away. So how do I get this kind of freedom? I'm going to finish up today with this. How do I get true freedom? It's too easy, but I'm going to tell you again. And it's this. You need to ask the Lord. John 16:24. Jesus talking to his followers, and he says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Boy, that's pretty simple. Ask. You truly want freedom that's unending, truly want freedom from sin, you need to ask Christ for it. And you more specifically need to ask him to come into your life. If you're not a Christian, you've never accepted Christ into your life, today is the right day to do that. Simply ask him to come in. He sets you free. He gives you truth. And trust me, that freedom cannot be bought with money. It is a free gift. You simply need to ask him. Let's do that right now. If you believe that Christ died for you and you want him to come in to bring that freedom, just repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all I've done wrong. Make me new. I thank you for peace. I thank you for freedom. Here's my life. Take it. Use it. Amen. If you prayed that today and you meant it, I want to encourage you, give us a message or comment and let us know so that we can encourage you further. God has done something amazing. You're going to experience freedom like you've never known it. A true freedom that can only come from God. Let me today pray for those of you who may not be feeling free right now. You know, I pray for those who have never accepted Christ, and I want to pray for those who are godly, those who know God, but today you're not feeling free. I want to pray for you because I believe that the enemy desires to put people in bondage And maybe you once were free and now you're in bondage. You call yourself a God follower, you call yourself a Christian, but yet you know you're in bondage. And maybe it's secret bondage, but it's bondage and you know it. God wants you free. He wants you completely free. I want to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray for freedom and I'm going to declare it over some of you. I'm going to ask God, show me what needs to be shown. I want to see you free. If that's you today and you want it, just agree with me right where you are. Let's pray. Let's speak this. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You paid the price for freedom. Lord, those who are walking without it right now, we speak to them. We speak freedom in Jesus' name. To the one right now who feels in bondage to smoking, it's something you can't let go of. You've tried and you can't. Right now, I speak freedom in Jesus' name. Let it go. For that person, you were watching this, and when I mentioned drugs, you know you're addicted to drugs. You know it. And others know it, but you can't get free. God wants to set you free right now. There are sometimes a spiritual stronghold that does not allow you to release it in the natural. So right now, I speak to that spiritual stronghold of addiction. Loose! Let them go. Wow. Freedom. It's yours. Freedom. It's yours. There's someone else. You are in bondage with fear. Fear has torment. You are not free if you're living in fear. So right now, I rebuke fear. Loose in Jesus' name. God loves you so much. Freedom is yours. I want you to continue in the freedom God gives you right now. I want to speak this prayer as well, just over our community, our church, and our country. I just want to say this, and I'm just going to pray it. I say this right now in Jesus' name. We break off the plans of people and the enemy that would try to hold people in bondage. We cancel those plans, and we say the plans of the Lord Jesus Christ come to pass in your life and in mine, in my community, and in my country. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for joining us. Hey, you need to live free. We love you. God loves you more than you can imagine. Thank you for joining us. Go ahead and subscribe to these videos. We'll see you next time.